Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, listen up for just 30 seconds. I'm biased, of course, but the most interesting episodes we post every week are the Shadow Docket bonus shows at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. On today's episode, Alex Jones stopped by to read comfort food recipes. We also talked about evolution versus creationism, including one of the funniest bits we've ever done on the show. So get going, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for the Shadow Docket level, $5 a month, and you're all set. Again, that's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 25, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,192 of the Biden-Harris administration, 194 days into the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And those people, it's the Goth Ninjas, yeah. It is Jody Hamilton, the executive producer of the Stephanie Miller Show. Patreon.com/Stephanie Miller Show, also sexyliberal.com for tour dates and tickets. Get them while they're hot. Also, David Ferguson, his music project is called Astral Summer. Patreon.com/Astral Summer. There
got
it is.
Got some new things kind of bubbling away. New things coming.
Oh, yeah. We saw a live performance. You sent us a video of
that was great, honey.
You guys performing. So what is it? Zola, We Ride at Dawn. Is that the song?
Annie, We Ride at Dawn.
Annie, We Ride at Dawn. Actually, I just combined two of your songs into one.
Sorry.
That was an accidental. I did not mean to send that last update to y'all. It was supposed to be going to somebody else because I'd already sent you the full video of this show.
I hate when that happens. Hey. You know what I also hate is I hate when I screw up song lyrics by Rocky Mountain Mike. So I have a correction from Tuesday's show.
No.
Yes. The lyric in one of the song parodies in Rocky Mountain Mike's bit. You know what? I'm just going to play it again. You want to play it? Let's play Rocky Mountain Mike's bit from Tuesday's show. This is Courthouse Gas.
New from KJL. It's Courthouse Gas. 20 original songs. 20 original artists. Elton John. Courthouse Gas from Tejo.
Right in the
middle of trial. Megan Blundie and Fart of Gas.
Once I saw Trump and he had no class. Soon turned out, had a fart of gas. Smelled like the real thing, was it too fine? Much of what's passed from his behind.
You'll also get The Romantic.
I hear your greasy KFC. When you're farting in your sleep. Jesus, that you eat when you're farting in your sleep.
Pat Benatar.
Your own fart maker. Deal breaker. Big figure. Don't pass gas around near me. Your own fart maker. Deal breaker. Forest breaker. Don't you pass the gas near me.
Plus, this song we didn't even have to make a parody of. Courthouse Gas from KTEL, wherever records are shredded. Get yours today at Sears, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Tower Records, and Kmart.
Yeah, okay, there it is, Rocky Mountain Mike.
And what did you get wrong, Bob?
Okay, so I thought the lyric was, I smell the cheeses that you eat when you're farting in your sleep.
and a good one.
I was corrected not only by a Patreon subscriber, but also by Rocky Mountain Mike himself, who said,
"Ooh,
the actual lyric in the bit is, I smell the Cheez-Its that you eat when you're farting in your sleep."
Gotcha.
It's and also, what you wrote was a good lyric.
Yeah. I mean, I think either way, I think either of them work. I think I smell the cheeses that you eat is...
That seems more encompassing and more of a global kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Go with yours, Bob. So, but my immediate reaction when Rocky Mountain Mike sent me an email about that was to check it
out. Respond with a request?
Well, no, I went to Google and typed in Donald Trump Cheez-Its. Because I thought maybe there was a story about Donald Trump eating Cheez-Its that I wasn't privy to. I don't know how I wouldn't be privy to Donald Trump eating Cheez-Its, but that seems like something that I would remember. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fully in tune with whatever ridiculous food Donald Trump is eating. And so I would have heard that there was something having to do with Donald Trump and Cheez-Its. Turns out...
Do I have to pull your finger...
That's right. So
rip the big one every time. Okay, I'm gonna keep doing this.
So I got it wrong.
Wrong.
I got it very wrong, but I still stand by the fact that Cheez-Its is just as funny as Cheez-Its. So there you go. There's my correction from Tuesday.
I agree.
Yes. Make sure to organize your life in a way that eventually you will have a job where you can correct the record on the difference between the word cheeses and the word Cheez-Its in the context of Donald Trump. That's how fun and pathetic my life happens to be.
And then I totally shit when I fart. Turn around, brown eye. Okay, sorry.
Oh, man, brown nose.
So make sure to send that to Mike. He loves that when people...
He loves requests.
Yeah. He does. He really, really does. Yeah, I mean, my job now, I go to, you know, I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and I get to work around 4:15.
Yeah.
And then there's just fart jokes.
Don't you love it, though? Don't you love that you can go to a job?
That's my job. I go to a job with an adult who's not in her 50s.
Because she's in her 30s.
That's, yeah. Well, she's in her, she says she's in her 40s. I'm just going to be honest and say she's not in her 50s.
Okay. Well, we're just going to go with the fact that she's in her 40s. We'll just
Schrodinger's say that. Human.
Yeah.
She's neither.
Somebody called in today because my mom was on Kimmel last night, and they said that, or emailed her, whatever, said that my mom looked like 60 and not, because she's going to be 91 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And so Stephanie goes, see, she's doing it to me. Yeah, she looks 30 years younger than she is.
Uh-huh.
Blowing the curve.
And you know what? I'm 52. I'm going to be 53 in July. And I have sat here recently debating which of my fart sounds is the funniest fart sound. And it's like, yeah, especially the last couple of weeks. Between Carney Wilson... and the fact that Donald Trump is farting in court, farts have been a top of mind. And so I'm like, well, is this funny? Or is this funny? Or is this funny? Or is this funny? I don't know which one's the funniest to me. I kind of landed on this one. Because that one, I don't know, for some reason, that's great punctuation. Yeah.
It's a little more insouciant. It has a certain je ne sais quoi.
Oh, my God. Yes. In 12 years, I'll be eligible for Social Security, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, no, I think at our age, it's 67, not 65.
Oh, I thought it was 65.
You guys are so cute. We're going to be standing around burning barrels of toxic chemicals while radioactive snow falls on our heads.
That's right.
Just, you know.
It's Ronald Reagan that raised the age
for
our generation. It's 67 for us.
Okay, legal scholar Jody Hamilton, have you been following the Supreme Court today?
I've been hearing some of it. Thank Tom Hartman, who helped me get somebody on the phone today, and then I screwed that up. But they're very nice people. But yeah, he's been playing it this morning. So I've been grabbing stuff and looking at the Twitters, and it's
soul crushing.
I think they're going to do. It is. It's. I think what they're going to do is kind of nuance it so that. If it's private stuff, yeah, you can be prosecuted for it. But if it's presidential, of course not. But I think they're going to send it back down.
Ellie Mistal has a theory about this that I want to get to in a second because it's even more soul crushing as a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Remanding. We're going to talk about remanding in a second.
Yeah, that's what that is.
But if you cherish democracy and the rule of law, what's going on in the Supreme Court today is not just soul crushing, it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's heartbreaking to know that we have a panel of 9 Supreme Court justices. Obviously, we know who the good ones are, the 3 good ones. But the majority of the Supreme Court justices are sitting there actually entertaining the possibility that the president could have not just immunity, but absolute immunity, which is one of the most insane anti-democratic, anti-rule of law things.
The minute they pass that, Uncle Joe needs to just like send an ICBM after Trump.
Oh, they also could rule that it only applies to Donald Trump.
That's also true. Or let's talk about what Ellie Mastal wrote on Twitter today, which could apply this particular ruling directly to Donald Trump if he is in fact president. So Ellie warned, ultimately, I do not think they'll give Trump blanket immunity for all crimes. But, and here's the but, the thing I'm listening for is, quote unquote, remand. I'm listening for Thomas, Alito, and Roberts to say that Trump may have some immunity Judge Chutkan didn't fully consider and send the case back to her. Remand would be the ultimate delaying tactic here.
Yep.
Because then Chutkan will have to make another ruling, and that ruling will be appealed first to D.C. and then to the Supreme Court, which will only hear the case next term after the election.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I've been thinking for months.
Yeah.
Is that they won't even rule on it, and or they decide, we'll rule on it, you know, in October.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in November, December, whenever the fuck they want to rule on it.
Uh-huh.
And after the election, and then they'll decide, okay, if Donald is not reelected, then of course there is no presidential immunity, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been thinking that for months.
Well, there are actual justices on the Supreme Court who, as I said, are literally entertaining this idea, trying to find an avenue in which total immunity actually applies here. Like Rick Hassan.
And getting like paid handsomely. I mean, it's just like there's millions of hardworking, knowledgeable people out there in the world who are making 2 + 2 = 4 every day and holding the world together. And then we have this fucking black-robed cadre of buffoons who are sitting up there trying to bend their legal minds in circles to make 2 + 2 = 5 and just say that it's okay. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me crazy.
Kavanaugh literally said, President Ford's pardon, hugely unpopular when he did it, now probably looked on as one of his better decisions. No.
No. God damn. Yeah.
How many people in trailer parks do you think are naming their daughters immunity case now?
Well, and,
immunity case, Leanne. You just get in here right now.
Just ask Jill Winebanks. She goes, if Nixon had not been pardoned, we would not have a fucking Donald Trump right now.
Here's the other thing that keeps circulating through my brain is that these 9 justices represent 1/3 of the federal government. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind that we've got 3 co-equal branches, and one of those 3 branches is the Supreme Court, and 6 of those 9 justices are like, yeah, maybe the president does have immunity. But the crazy thing about this is, though, that if granted absolute immunity by the Supreme Court, the President of the United States, whoever that may be, could actually either arrest or assassinate the Supreme Court.
Thank you.
Have you guys ever had a 3-legged table?
No.
You're like one of those kidney-shaped tables
Yeah, I know what you
absolutely.
Mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you ever had, I mean, oh my God, they fall over all the time. It's just like, I think, who wrote the Joy Luck Club? Help me out, guys.
Oh, her name, good question. Yeah, I don't remember.
Amy Tan.
Do you want me to?
Amy Tan wrote the Joy Luck Club.
There you go.
Another one of her books, which is about a different set of marriages. There was a Chinese woman married to a white guy, and he was like an architect-ish guy, and he had this 3-legged table that he was so proud of, and it was constantly falling over. And her mother was just like looming in the background, not making comments about the feng shui of this, you know. But I totally feel like, I mean, I'm just like, we have 3 co-equal branches of government, which means we need a 4th.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's supposed to be the press. We're going to talk about, I think, maybe even during the free show, but I've got it written down for the shadow docket, that there's this.
We're the 4th estate. Oh, my God. That's where that came from, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you're just realizing it now. Like, David's like, wow.
I just never knew.
There's a little light bulb above David's head at this point.
It's so cute.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the New York Times versus Joe Biden here. Maybe in the free show, maybe in the shadow docket. Stand by. We don't know know what's going to happen next. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. They need that fourth estate, and we do have the fourth estate, and they're not doing their job right now, as far as I'm concerned, at least as far as generating the conversation around super important things. But here's Rick Hossin's observation about Sam Alito during the preceding stay in the Supreme Court. Alito tries to turn things on their head by saying to encourage peaceful transitions of power, you need to give incumbents absolute immunity so they will leave and won't worry about prosecution later. So essentially what he's saying is if you don't have absolute immunity for the president's never going to leave. That's just like an insane twisting of logic that defies. I mean, it actually makes my brain hurt. It's making my brain want to pop out of my ear like Stimpy in that cartoon. I mean, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. So you give the president absolute immunity. That president's not going to leave office. Why would the president leave? Because he's not subject to the law anymore. He's not subject to elections. Yeah. He has absolutely do whatever he wants. He could order the military to surround the White House and protect him and make sure he's not dragged out of there. I mean, there are innumerable things that can happen when you give the president of the United States, who is already, as Lincoln says in the movie, at least I don't remember if he said it in real life, but Lincoln actually said, the presidency, which is cloaked in immense power already. And then we're expanding that power to a greater degree by just making sure that the president cannot be subject to the rule of law. Therefore, eliminating the entire notion of the rule of law.
Right.
The rule of law means that the law,
elected president.
Yeah, the law rules over people, including the president. But you take the president out of that equation, and there is no more rule of law. The ruler is then the president, not the law. And this is something that the founding fathers of this country, the framers of the Constitution, absolutely demanded. And since then, since the ratification of the Constitution, throughout all this period of time, all the way up to fucking Donald Trump, I cannot believe that this conversation is about the Celebrity Apprentice guy, the guy with the Trump stakes, the fucking cartoon character that everyone used to make fun of from New York. That's the guy we're talking about with regard to absolute immunity.
It hurts.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It hurts that that's the guy that ended up being, I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, I am free from consequences forever.
Yeah.
As far as he can make that happen, that is his life goal. And it just makes me want to just like fade like Homer Simpson back into the bushes and disappear forever.
Right. You mean Jim Comey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are tens of millions of Americans, maybe upwards of 74 million of them, who are like, yeah, this guy should be in charge of the country again. We're going to vote for this guy. That in and of itself, I mean, I wouldn't be nearly as concerned about any of this, what was happening in the Supreme Court, if Donald Trump was just a non-entity. If everyone was actually smart and wise and said, oh yeah, this guy's full of shit. We should never have this guy in charge of the national economy, in charge of the national security, and in charge of the national defense. He should never get anywhere near that shit. He shouldn't even be allowed to tour the White House as a guest.
No.
If that were the case, I'd be like, okay, well, let's see what happens here. But I mean, the thing that stresses me out more than anything else is, yes, the arguments that are being made and the actual Supreme Court justices who appear to be buttressing these arguments in public. I mean, it's obvious we're hearing them say these things. But in addition to that, it's the people. It's the people who are like, yes, more of that, please. Yeah, oh, yeah, the president needs to have immunity because the president needs to get in office and knock some heads, knock some sense into the deep state, or knock some sense into woke culture, or knock some sense into Black Lives Matter, or whatever they're thinking. That is absolutely madness.
They're not even really thinking, is the thing.
Yeah,
there's no long term. Right. It's the cruelty, it's the ongoing sense of hurting people. I really feel like MAGA is the new smoking. You know, like they know it's not good for them.
Uh-huh.
They know it's wrong. It gives them a little dopamine lift and makes them feel better.
God, and that's so smart.
And by the way, they don't want all presidents to have the immunity. They just want Donald.
Yep, that's it.
That's it.
They don't want the dopamine from exercise or like a better diet.
No.
They want it from their cigarettes.
No.
They're trying.
No.
I may even try to like put an essay into this effect in The Guardian. We'll see if they take it.
Yeah.
Because it really seems like, because it's like public areas used to be fouled with cigarette smoke constantly.
Yeah.
And now they've been fouled by crazy people who just like, just proclaim out of nowhere, like, let's go, Brandon. And everyone, you know, and it's like,
yeah. Well, the smoking metaphor, I think, is so appropriate and so like spot on accurate. I mean, that's exactly what we're looking at. We're looking at people supporting something that they know is bad for them. Why? Because it irritates the other people. It irritates people like us, right? That's
it also
the whole
gives them a little sense of sadness, a little bit of comfort to themselves. Let's not, because that's why I feel like it goes up in times of crisis. Why Nazi Germany rose out of an economic quagmire for that once mighty banking country, because it makes people feel better about themselves and they have someone to look down on.
Yeah. You know, it's the sound effect that I play all the time of Robert De Niro in Cape Fear in the movie theater, smoking that stogie and laughing out loud. Just adding on to your metaphor, David, this is... This is the MAGA movement, being deliberately annoying with the laughing and the
cigar. I thought that was from Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, no, no. That's Cape Fear. That's Cape Fear. Yeah, so he's...
See, part of where the problem, I feel like, with these guys in Washington, the people we've got at the front line of our main press corps, is they've never dealt with people like this before. They've never dealt with genuinely dangerous people.
Yeah.
And people who are just flat out lying to watch you dance. Because these are, I mean, this is a gangster class we have running. It is a mob trial we have going right now. And they're just these same, I mean, God, I saw, was it Jonathan Chait? It wasn't Jonathan Chait. It was somebody with a name like Jonathan Chait.
Yeah.
And he worked for something like maybe The Atlantic or The New Republic or, you know, and he looks just like all those dudes.
Yeah.
He's brunette. He's medium build. He's slightly chubby. He's white. Mm-hmm. He's got those LensCrafter brown tip-framed glasses. You know, he's wearing a light-colored dress shirt, a dark-colored blazer, and a dark-colored tie.
Yeah.
And he's never had an original thought in his entire life.
Right.
And he has no reflexes. He has no follow-up. He's like Chuck Todd's little bastard child there.
Chuck Todd. Yeah.
Because he's like, doesn't have any attack mechanism. He doesn't have that, like, what journalists need is to be like, no, I hear that you are lying and I need you to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm going to take this down, what you say, and go and file it as just like, you know, uncritically as I possibly can. And every now and then one of them will pop off when, like, Nick Fuentes goes down to Mar-a-Lago and we have, you know, because they're Jewish. And then they calm right back down again and go right back to being stenographers because they want the access. And like they, and I'm just like looking at the guy and I'm like, dude, your hair. Why? I'm like, it is the basic $6 Great Clips haircut. Parted on the side. You know, and it says absolutely nothing about anything. Yeah. It's just like Marco Rubio hair. People who look like that have a total lack of imagination.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
To perceive and to project what bad people are going to do, you need tremendous amounts of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Russians have kicked us in the face again and again and again by not, by us not imagining, well, what if they take this and make it evil?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like this is why our, you know, fourth estate is falling down on the job again and again and again and again and again, because they have a bunch of excessively painfully bland, normal people in there who can't think on their feet, who have no sense of the real danger they're in, and who just want to fit in and look like everybody else. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. I love you.
See, very well said, and that segues exactly into what I was just going to mention. Normally, I would say, yeah, there's a problem with civics education in this country. People don't understand how the system works. But you know what? This is something that's symptomatic of the mainstream press as well. And I don't think you could argue necessarily that the mainstream press doesn't know what the system does and how it operates. The thing is, and the point I'm getting to, is that I think there's this misapprehension among many, many people, whether it's rank and file voters or people in the mainstream press, that the system is more resilient than it actually is. I think one of the problems, and I think this is maybe stemming from my political science education, I don't know what, but when I look at the American system, I see something that is far more fragile and far more susceptible to demagoguery and fuckery. And what I mean by that is so much of our system is based on good faith and tradition. Not necessarily a set of laws and parameters. While, yes, we do have an extensive U.S. code that provides guardrails and ostensibly a rule of law for now, what we don't have is actual codification of some of these traditions and the notion of goodwill. We assume with the American presidency that whoever rises to that level is going to make noble and wise decisions, even if we disagree on policy. That person will obviously...
That is not a safe assumption.
No, it's not. Not anymore. Not anymore.
But it's also, to me, like the assumption that like good vibes and handshakes are the way to get access.
Yeah, but
the way to get access is combativeness.
Sure.
Sorry, I interrupted
yeah.
you.
Yeah, well, no, that's okay. But I mean, I think the thing is a lot of people believe that you can have someone like Donald Trump worming his way into the system, and that the system will hold, that democracy will not crumble around this guy and around all the things that he's trying to achieve for himself and his own wealth and his own power. It only takes a little nudge for everything to wildly fly off the rails in this country as far as our constitutional True. System goes. And yep. whether it's the peaceful transfer of power, the goodwill that goes along with providing that, which Donald Trump has trampled upon. I mean, there are so many things that, because they're not written down, because they're not actual rules that Donald Trump could be prosecuted for, he didn't even bother with any of that crap. Just
pretend it's completely human terms, folks.
Yeah.
A half teaspoon of shit can completely
yes.
ruin your day, uh-huh. your outfit, your running shoes. Yep. You know, like it's
yeah.
like it's not like just because the thing is so big that these little tiny things can't chip away at it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I just.
Oh, the good, like, for example, the goodwill that I'm talking about is we could see it going all the way back, and it's almost cliche to say this, but George Washington leaving office after two terms, George Washington resigning his military commission upon inauguration.
Yep.
So that he was a civilian president and not a military president. These are all things that you expect future presidents to adhere to, and so many other examples of the same sort of thing. And I think people assume that if you eliminate those things, that the system and the stability of the American system will continue to flourish. And that is not the case. It's so easy to toss the whole thing off the rails. It really, really is. And we are right on the precipice of that actually happening. Hey, happy day. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of the problem is that the hate feels so good to them.
Yeah.
And they can even visibly see all their special referendum, or mm-hmm. I guess referenda, I don't
We're
know.
We're going to go with referendums.
No, it's got to be referenda then.
Okay, whatever.
It's like media,
Latin.
Medium.
Yeah.
But you know, voters are turning en masse mm-hmm. against their policies. Moms for Liberty is turning into a giant, giant cesspool of suckitude.
Yeah.
Like our own like Republican local library director for the next county over is just like, I don't want to deal with these witches anymore. They're fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the population is just not going the way they want it to. And yet they continue to double down on the hatefulness because it feels so good to them.
Yeah.
Again, it's back to the addiction metaphor because like they don't know how to do anything else. They've got no other policy agenda. And the cruelty is the point.
Yeah.
And it's shrinking their numbers.
Yeah. And that's where they exploit the weaknesses in the system. And they do that in order to attain minority rule.
Yep.
And they have so far been somewhat successful when it comes to issues like abortion, for example. But I don't want to get too far afield here because there are a few more things about this immunity case that I want to mention before we take a break. But Neil Gorsuch.
Did we take a break?
I know. It's just like, but this
I just
is
don't
all,
remember.
Yeah, all important stuff that we've just been talking about. But I want to make sure we get some of these details from the hearings today. But Neil Gorsuch said, or he asked this question. Why couldn't he be prosecuted for leading a civil rights protest in front of the Capitol that delays a vote on a piece of important legislation? That is a utterly disingenuous question. I cannot believe Neil Gorsuch is attaching his name and his face to this ridiculousness.
Eh.
What?
I just say, oh, Neil. Remember the Young Ones?
Oh, okay,
yes,
right, all right.
I
thank
do.
You. Thank you for the context.
When they went on the quiz show, sorry, I'm a little.
That's all right. Yeah. What he's doing is he's kind of conflating the idea of the insurrection with, you know, a peaceful protest in support of civil rights. Like,
it's very different. Those are two vastly different
things. The intent of a civil rights protest anywhere near the Capitol, for example, is not necessarily to halt Congress, to invade and occupy Congress, to make the members of Congress flee for their lives, including the vice president. There is a vast difference between these two things, and he is insulting everyone's intelligence. Neil Gorsuch is insulting everyone's intelligence by making this stupid fucking argument. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Trump's lawyer, once again, I think is John Sauer or Jim Sauer?
John, I want to say.
Okay.
I could look it up, but I think it's John.
Well, once again, he said, yes, the president can assassinate anyone he wants.
Yeah, and that's just like, really?
Yeah. Sonia Sotomayor asked, if the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military to assassinate him, is that within his official acts to which he has immunity? And John, it is John Sauer, said, that could well be an official act.
Yeah, 2 + 2 = 5, obviously.
It's maddening.
David, it's not 5. It's 3.1492273.
Right.
Right. Ellie Mistal also noticed that Ketanji Brown Jackson said, so what was up with the pardon for President Nixon? So I was hoping, what's up with that? I was hoping she would say that line. If everyone thought that presidents couldn't be prosecuted, what was up with that?
Why need pardon? Why do you need a pardon?
Yeah. Carol Lenning observed, worth remembering, today Supreme Court justices ask if presidents will just start pardoning themselves to avoid facing trial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing.
Well, thank you for injecting that idea into the national conversation, whoever said that.
And that's also like, okay, so are you guys going to rule on that, that it's not a thing?
Yeah, how about that? That's something that the Supreme Court could actually rule on, that the president shouldn't be allowed to pardon himself. That
no,
seems
of course
to me
not.
In a,
and that's it's not in the Constitution. It just says he can do pardons or she can do pardons. It doesn't say to whom the pardon tolls, but it's like, seriously, guys, you got to rule on that shit.
I mean, that would be a smart thing to do, to actually rule on it. Because pardoning yourself, that's an abuse of presidential
power. Of your
power.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an abuse
that's
of power.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it seems obvious to those of us who, once again, respect the rule of law, separation of powers, crazy ideas like that. Oh, my God, you support separation of powers. That's incredible. No, it's actually quite normal is what it is. Oh, by the way, watch out for disinformation on social media. It's crazy that we still have to say that here in 2024, but it's true. I don't want to say the name of the account. I actually blocked this person, but they are an obvious disinformer. They tweeted out, breaking, Trump wins SCOTUS immunity case. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court ruled that former presidents are entitled to immunity from such lawsuits, in part because of their unique office. Source, CNN. And that, of course, is gigantic lie.
They're not even done hearing shit.
Yes.
And, by the way, Ellie Mistal tweeted out, he thinks it's going to be the boys against the girls. That all the boys will rule in Donald's favor and Amy Coney Barrett will join the ladies.
Well, that's only 4.
So it's 5-4. But I think Roberts might want to save himself.
Once again.
I don't know. I hope so.
I mean.
I've got no predictions because it just seems like anytime I get a handle on Roberts, like as possibly being an ethical player, he does me dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm still going with my idea that they're going to kick it until we know whether or not Donald will be president.
That's the remand thing that Ellie was warning about, right?
Well, I mean, it just
or the BC boys.
You don't have to remand. You just say we'll rule later. They don't have to rule in June or July, or they can wait until the next session when they guess they go on vacation in September until October. They can wait. Until November, November 5th. Which is after the election. I mean, they could totally wait.
what did I say a few months ago? This was going to be a crazy fucking year. And here we are. Here we are. Although I will end on this positive note. Marcy Wheeler gets the Tweet of the Day award for this one. She said, here's a question Alito should be asked today. If a female president got an abortion during her term, could Idaho arrest her?
Excellent question.
Very, very well said, Marcy Wheeler. Yeah. That is,
wow.
And of course, the Supreme Court would be
thing of beauty.
Sure. Yeah. Because, and that's just it. Our faith in this institution has been entirely decimated by these fucking crooks. And I'm looking in the direction of Clarence Thomas.
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. I mean, the very fact that they are making these cases, they're arguing the way they are, just the very fact that they're entertaining Donald Trump's whimsy. I think one of the reasons we're here is because Donald Trump got confused between executive privilege and presidential immunity. Mm-hmm. There has never been another president who has argued, well, it was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon argued it's not illegal if the president
Clinton
does it.
Bill Clinton as well. But, and Bill Clinton, by the way, lost his law license. Remember? Because he committed perjury.
Exactly right. So
presidents have already been adjudicated to have to do, Nixon should have been, but Clinton certainly had to, he lost his law license over that. So I'm sorry, but it's already happened and he's fine. He's walking around. He's fine. He just can't practice law. Not that he wants to anymore.
Yeah. Oh, what's that? Is someone's phone vibrating?
My phone was on the desk.
That was weird. Oh, I thought
that was fun. That sounded like a UFO.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Jody. I was just going to say it sounds like an alien invasion.
Actually,
why
I need
is
to
that?
Take this. Can you guys pause for a second?
Well, what we're going to do is while David takes this call, we're going to throw to commercial. When we come back, we got to talk about this set of indictments handed down in Arizona.
Right.
And.
So sorry.
Wow, it sounds chaotic over there. On
it does,
David's
doesn't it?
End. Yeah, maybe I should mute David's
microphone. I think you keep that on.
Yeah, no, I'm going to
keep it.
I'm going to mute David because we don't want his phone call going out because he's talking on speakerphone. Anyway, we're going to talk about the indictments handed down in Arizona, Trump's fraud trial continuing, and a whole lot more right after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery. Starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Still haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm just stumbling through the dark. Nothing more.
That's brand new music from a band called Rogues Revival. And a song called Round and Round from their latest album. I got a link in the description to download it. Get into your record collection. Do it. Also, bobsesca.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. All right. We continue on with our big Thursday show. You got your phone call out of the way, David? Everything's okay? Everything's fine? I guess
yes.
It is. Good. Excellent. Good
I'm just glad we have the all-time favorites all day long.
I know. There was some question about the lyrics to that jingle, and I had to clarify that it's all-time
it's
favorites.
It's very clear.
All day long. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
Exactly.
Love my jingles. I got to get some new jingles. I got to get some like Goth Ninjas jingles and like a Buzz Burbank jingle and a Kimberly Johnson jingle. Because these are, I mean, this is the real deal.
I got to pull my friends, though, some of them. Yeah. Because some of them are like, you know, I sent that last really funny episode. I ran into my friend who is the Atlanta bureau chief for the New York Times. And I was like, you got to hear our podcast. It's so good. And I sent it to him and I heard, nothing.
Yeah, crickets chirping. Like,
and I was like, do they think we're too juvenile, or is it the radio thing that bothers them, or like, what's going on? Because I think we're the most amazing podcast on the planet. Obviously,
I agree with that sentiment.
Me too. Yeah, you didn't win a Webby this year. Jill Weinbanks and hashtag Sisters-in-Law won the Webby this year for political commentating.
Yeah, the thing with the Webby Awards is you got to have thousands of dollars just to submit to the Webby Awards.
Oh, it doesn't. Right. Wow, because like the tellies don't cost a lot.
No. That's the stupid thing about these awards is, yeah, you get awards if you can afford them. So
fucking funny, guys. I mean,
I know.
I listen to other people's podcasts and I'm like, where are the jokes? Yeah. A lot of them are just like, I don't know. Fucking Joe Rogan and Ben Shapiro going, well, a hot dog is not a sandwich.
Right.
You know, and
or
it's
the
like,
other liberal podcasts like, yes, today is the 25th of April, 2024. Welcome to the Very Serious Liberal Podcast. My name is Mr. Serious. Welcome to the show. We are speaking.
I mean, no wonder everybody bails out of their first breaks.
Yeah.
You know, like, whereas we have our, 93% listener goes all the way. 93%
time spent listening. We're in the 90s easily. We keep people, it doesn't matter how long the show is, people just listen all the way through. And that is extremely rare. But anyway, let's get back into politics here because we got to make sure that the Atlanta bureau chief of the New York Times is entertained. So let's talk about, is that who we're talking about, David? Is that your guy who didn't listen to the show?
He's actually a really good friend, but he also is like...
So that edit you just heard was us skipping over David doxing his friend. So,
thank you.
Yeah. But when he was writing about music.
Oh, see, here you go again. Now you're doing it more.
Stop it.
I know.
Stop doxing him.
Stop.
No.
Stop doing it.
No.
Okay. So Republicans might be done with the law, but the law isn't done with the Republicans. That's my little
ditty
for more indictments handed down in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Handed up. It's handed up, I'm told. So, yeah, so Mark Meadows.
Litigious.
Yeah. Mark Meadows indicted. Rudy Giuliani indicted. Jenna Ellis indicted. John Eastman indicted. Boris Epstein indicted. Christina Bobb indicted. Mike Roman indicted. All part of the fake electors scam. Yeah. So one of the many funny things about this out of Arizona is the fact that the fake electors, who were also indicted, I think there were 11 of them, they videotaped their meeting.
They're idiots.
Like idiots. I just kept thinking of those
fucking
moron.
Idiots.
Yeah, those moron kids who go in and...
Videotaping this crime screen is the best idea we ever had.
Yes, and then they posted on Instagram. And they're like, how did we get caught so easily? Well, you videotaped it, you morons, like children. Another aspect of all of this is the indictment appears to describe Ken Cheesebro back in the news, one of the planners of the alleged scheme, as an unindicted co-conspirator. Donald Trump is unindicted co-conspirator one, in this particular case. So the story from NBC News goes, a state grand jury in Arizona on Wednesday indicted Trump aides, including Giuliani, Meadows, Epstein, as well as so-called fake electors who backed then President Donald Trump in 2020 after a sprawling investigation into the alleged efforts to overturn Joe Biden's win in the presidential election. And naturally, the entire plot was in aid of this conspiracy, which was turns out nationwide. Where if the legal challenges failed to produce a Donald Trump second term, then they would put up these fake electors, which would then force Mike Pence in Congress to throw the electoral count back to the states. And so that was the plan, to just upend the whole thing. But it also depended on Mike Pence doing his thing as well. So once again, all of these guys, or as Donald Trump says, all of his stupid idiot disciples.
With his shoes, and it's in a basket. And do I put all of my kisses in the basket and bring them to you? Or do I need to bring all of my shoes? I mean, I don't know what to do.
This is my favorite thing.
It's very difficult.
When Jody conflates Donald Trump and Saul Rosenberg from the Jerky Boys. That is my favorite thing in the world. Yes. All of these people were dumb enough to attach their wagons to the Donald Trump star. And once again, they're getting burned. Is this going to be a signal to other people who are doing the exact same thing right now with Donald Trump? Of course not. Because these people are idiots. These are stupid people, and things got out of hand, as the Watergate saying goes. And once again, not only will Donald
Trump... things got out of hand, as the Chernobyl saying goes.
That's right. In addition to these nincompoops who continue to try to worm their way into Donald Trump's inner circle, which now that I'm saying that out loud is really gross sounding.
Yes,
don't get anywhere near Donald Trump's inner circle. It is a sewage treatment...
My retina!
Jesus, especially not when he's in a courtroom, by the way. Excuse me. What was I even talking about? Oh, yeah, all right.
His ringtone.
Yeah, people getting into Donald Trump's inner circle. Barf. But yes, there are going to be tens of millions of people who want to do essentially the same thing. Like, get that guy back in the White House. This business fraud, this known crook, this con man, this disaster of a human being. Yes, what we should do is put him in charge of the national economy, the national defense, and national security. What a smart idea. And then when things go horribly awry, they're like, oh, fuck, we better get rid of this guy. But guess what? You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to get rid of him because he's going to be president for life. If you are stupid enough, and I'm talking to you, the undecided voter, provided that you're listening to our silly show. If you vote for Donald Trump, you are asking for not just a president for life, but a disaster for however long that life lasts.
A farting disaster.
A farting disaster. Office.
Do I have to? Do I have to?
Yeah.
Do I have to pull your finger?
Yeah, and David, you probably know as well as anyone else that people may be done with COVID, but guess what's on deck right now? Bird
a
flu.
A new variant. Yeah. Oh, no. A new flu. Virus entirely. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Bird flu on the march in the United States. Yeah. Yeah. And just in time for another Donald Trump presidency where everyone goes, yeah, it's a great idea. Let's get Donald Trump in there. That won't be a fucking disaster. And then
all the cicadas, they're going to have sex and turn into zombies. Yes. So there's that.
All the cicadas with the sexually transmitted fungus, right?
Yes.
I mean, that should be an indication, a sign of the apocalypse.
No shit.
But
maybe it will be like, it'll infect the Trump people and they will all just climb to the highest place they can, grab on with their teeth and explode with spores and become bird food.
Yeah. You know? I mean, there was a time when I actually said out loud with a serious look on my face, yeah, you got to trust the wisdom of the American voter.
No.
That is long gone. I mean... Yeah. At least half of the American voting population is just gone.
Yes.
I mean, just look at the polls. I mean, I know the polls are fucked up, but just take 10 points off of Donald Trump's numbers to compensate. And still, there's like 40% of the people are going, yes, that guy.
It's going to be okay, Bob. Mind-boggling.
I know.
It's going to be okay. Deep breaths. Your microscopic attentiveness and granular
very
awareness
of you.
Yeah.
Very limaz of you.
Not going to have an influence on the outcome. Just deep breath in,
yeah,
deep breath out.
It's very limaz. Which never makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, granted, I've never had to push anything out of my body.
Right.
Other than people.
Mm-hmm.
Actual humans, like adults that are men, like, get out. But I've never had to
like
push
a
baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and taking... Lonnie literally says to me sometimes, this is TMI. Do you want to help me? And he pulls his hand out and goes, help me breathe.
God
damn.
So
TMI, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you
for
that.
We are very close. We are so close.
Okay, so...
we don't live in a fridge, though.
No, but we do.
I know.
So, meantime, Donald Trump's fraud trial continues. Wasn't there supposed to be a ruling on contempt today? When does that happen?
It hasn't happened yet. I'm on the Twitters. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, the prosecutors say that Donald Trump committed 4 more violations of his gag order just in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. Just since after the hearing. It's like, you motherfucker.
Yeah. And
man, wouldn't it be awesome if they just brought him out encased in carbonite?
Jesus, oh, like Harrison Ford?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great idea.
He's been encased in carbonite. It's the only way we can keep him from violating any more gag orders.
Here's
when he looks at his daughter and he says, "I love you," and she goes, "I know."
This guy can't keep his fucking yapper shut. He just went on some local news channel in Pennsylvania and just completely trampled all over his gag order going after Michael Cohen. Listen to this fucker.
Shift to the trial, if we could, for 1 second. Where is your concern level at this point regarding David Pecker's testimony and Michael Cohen's testimony?
Well, Michael Cohen is a convicted liar, and he's got no credibility whatsoever. He was a lawyer, and you rely on your lawyers. But Michael Cohen was a convicted liar. He was a lawyer for many people, not just me.
That was violating his gag order to go after Michael Cohen. Was it worth it, Donald, for the 4 people who were watching the local news in wherever the fuck Pennsylvania that was? Not smart. Not smart. And again, there are millions of people who are like, yes, this dummy should be back in the White House. Just amazing. It must be for the entertainment value. Let's listen to the rest of this, by the way.
To take the stand if it comes down to it?
Oh, sure. I'd very willingly take the stand. Right now, if you look at what the
He always says that.
What?
No.
He always says that. I'm looking forward to testifying to Mr. Mueller. You know, I mean, he always says he wants to take the stand.
Right.
He never takes the stand.
And he's going to bring his glasses and his shoes with him. Yeah, when he takes the stand. Mm. Yeah. So he has them. So that's that. You don't need to hear any more of that. But, of course, Donald Trump continues to trample all over a gag order that could land him in fucking jail.
The part of my head that wants to be president, there's a very small one. It has two globes, two hemispheres.
Yeah.
And like one of them is like, I would be like trying to be like a totally just, ruled by the laws, dispassionate president. And the other part of me wants to be like the fucking white witch and to just like, you know, like until the trial is over, we're cutting out your tongue, Trump.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. Like,
taking away your fingers and locking you in a room where you can't tweet because you cannot follow orders. No one has ever disciplined you.
No.
And it's appalling that you can get this far in life and that you can actually be the president of the United States and have the self-control of a fucking javelina cut loose in an Arby's.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's unreal to me.
Well, one of the reasons why I'm so confounded by the fact that in recent playpen talks that he's been doing out in the garage during breaks in the trial, is talking about how freezing it is in the courtroom and how it's difficult for him to sit up straight.
It's so hard. Don't make him do it.
That's the craziest thing because Mary Trump says the thing that Donald Trump fears most is being seen as a loser. But I think it's being seen as a loser and being seen as weak.
Yep.
I think those two things are like kryptonite to Donald Trump, but yet he's able to incessantly whine all the time. Complain about how chilly it is in the courtroom, how he gets his ass falls asleep or whatever because he's sitting for so long. There's a gigantic disconnect between all of these things. And I guess that's why certain number of people find him to be so, I'm going to try not to throw up in my mouth when I say that, so entertaining. I mean, there are actually people who are like, yes, he should be president because he's entertaining. I like to watch him do shit. But anyway, Trump also committed witness tamper. Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Michael Cohen did the right thing yesterday. He said,
says who?
Who says who?
Despite not being the gag defendant, this is Michael Cohen on Twitter.
I know.
Despite not being the gag defendant, out of respect for Judge Mershon and the prosecutors, I will cease posting anything about Donald on my ex, formerly Twitter account, or on the Mea Culpa podcast until after my trial testimony. See you all in a month or more. Hashtag Team Cohen. So that was, I think, a smart move. See, even Michael Cohen.
He's encased himself in carbonite.
Right. Even Michael Cohen has some sort of tethering to decency and decorum.
Says who?
Well, and that's part of the reason that why the gag order wouldn't happen for Michael Cohen, because he's been tweeting about Donald. So if he stops doing that and Donald starts doing it again, it's like, dude, I stopped.
All right. So we're going to take one last short break. And when we come back, we've got some great fucking news out of Pennsylvania.
That's something I never thought I'd hear.
I know! It was great news.
Yes, this is all having to do with the Pennsylvania primary and the results that happened Tuesday in that particular election. And then some good news from not just Joe Biden, but Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, about booking a ticket and having that flight canceled or delayed, and what you can do or what you will be able to do now. These are wonderful little bits of news, so stick around. More podcasts right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. If you ask me why these protests are breaking out on university campuses, I think it has a lot to do with social media. And I think it has a lot to do with people that don't wish us well. I think it has a lot to do with governments that don't want to see a second Biden term. They would much rather have Donald Trump not supporting democracies in Europe like Ukraine, not allowing freedom to, you know, win the day in the United States any longer, and coming under some sort of a one-man authoritarian rule. Okay, I really do believe that there are countries, haphazardly, without any thought, of course, communist countries like China or autocratic countries like Russia might have a preference. And it won't be Biden. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music.
I didn't mean to fall for you. I was just scrolling on my phone. An ad said that an AI friend would talk to me if I felt alone. As I signed up, I did not realize I'd get.
Yeah, this is the brand new Hushed single called Virtual Girl. Really great song. Link in the description, of course. Find this episode dated 4/25/24 at bobseska.com. Click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support all the independent recording artists on today's show. And by the way, I have a couple of words about the podcast appearing on YouTube Music. We'll talk about that on the Shadow Docket. Okay.
Before we go.
Yeah, right. What'd you say?
The last song, the intro, it like begs to be on a Top Gun soundtrack because the way the big bass comes in and it kind of wavers like the air behind jet engines, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like just play 10 seconds of it. Just 10 more seconds.
10 more seconds. Okay, here we go.
The very intro. Go to the intro.
Oh, the intro. Okay, hang on.
And then you like pan wide across the airfield where all the big jets are. All
right.
You know, like.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Totally right. Yeah, slow motion shot of Tom Cruise yeah. with his aviator glasses on walking in slow motion.
Totally.
Yeah.
Or Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, yeah.
Shimmering in the desert air, everything wavering like those water mirages on the road.
It's a shame.
It sounds
that,
like it in the guitar. See, I'm a very, what's the word? Synesthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it like sounds, I get images like it sounds.
Yeah.
Words, yeah. I get flavors. Yeah.
Even though the actual song has nothing to do with any of that. But yeah, but I mean,
it's okay, but
I
it
can
looks
tell.
Like that.
Yeah, the sound. Yeah, the sound of the music.
It sounds like
is
that.
Appropriate. Okay, got some great news out of Pennsylvania for Joe Biden. The results in the primary, let's do the Republican side first. Well, Donald Trump won with 83.4% of the vote.
Running against no one.
Running against no one. Nikki Haley got 157,000 votes. Donald Trump
got... Oh, my God!
Donald Trump got 790,000 votes. But then if you compare that to the Democratic side, Joe Biden got 941,000 votes, 87.9% of the votes. That is many, many more than Donald
Huge.
Trump got. Someone named Dean Phillips, is that an actual person? I'm not sure.
He sounds familiar.
Yeah, vaguely. Maybe he was a factor at some point. I don't remember. I don't know who he is.
All people him. With two first names seem vaguely suspicious to me.
I was being sarcastic. Oh. Anyway.
Oh, he was a representative.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was. I know okay. who Dean Phillips is. Yeah. I'm just okay. being silly because I'm trolling Dean
adorable.
Phillips a little bit. Yes, I know.
Because you're adorable.
Yeah, yeah. 69,000 votes he got. And here are some fun headlines out of Pennsylvania, courtesy of Rick Wilson. Let's read some of these headlines yes. the day after the Pennsylvania primary. New York Times, Trump wins Pennsylvania primary but remains haunted by Haley. Axios, Trump wins Pennsylvania but Haley wins over 147,000 votes. The Daily Beast, Trump bruised by another brutal protest vote in Pennsylvania. Reuters, Haley voters persist in Pennsylvania as Biden-Trump sweep state. Pennsylvania win a setback for Trump as Nikki emerges as real winner. Biden something, something, something. It's cut off, so I can't read the rest of it. But yeah, that's all fun.
You know,
thank you.
I never liked Nikki Haley's hair, but now I am really seeing its utility for her as the girl from The Grudge.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Japanese movie. Like crawling out of the TV after Trump with all that black hair hanging straight. I'm like, oh.
I got to tell you, I despise her positions on the issues. But for some reason,
no.
that sound has made me
no.
like Nikki Haley a little teeny tiny bit more. Just a little
no.
bit. Just a little bit. I know.
No.
I know.
No.
I shouldn't even say
no.
Shouldn't even
Sometimes
say
Sometimes the enemies of our enemies... We can find a little cute.
I know. Okay, so in addition to all of that, thank you, Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg.
Yes.
Eric Feigelding reports, huge change. Airlines operating in the United States will soon have to automatically refund you when your flight
yes.
is canceled or delayed, 3 hours Boom. Domestic, 6 hours international, or a bag is lost. Refunds,
yes.
right? Refunds
wow.
within 7 business days. The new Biden DOT rule starts in 6 months. Is 6 months before or
Don't
after the
me.
Election?
Yeah.
And watch, this will run so much better than the old system. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just another thing that Biden is doing for regular people, making life just a little bit easier, right?
And I do look forward to voting for Pete Buttigieg
yeah.
for president after Kamala.
Uh-huh.
But still.
Yes. And by the way, this story, no one will know about it. I mean, there are people who are, you know, who have type 2 diabetes and have no idea that the price yeah. of insulin has been capped at $35.
Well, actually.
Did they? It's finally
done?
Captain
35. Yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just incredible. Oh,
that's going to be such a relief to Ben.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even though with Obamacare, he's had pretty low insulin rates all through these last few years, mm-hmm. you know, they keep threatening to jack it up because we're in Georgia and blah, 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 blah. So.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I want to mention this before we wrap up the free show. Let's talk about this on the free show. I was going to say this for the after party, but we teased it earlier in the show, so let's talk about this. So the New York Times is deliberately publishing anti-Biden stories because the president, president hasn't given them an interview yet. So they're... So that explains what's going on with the New York Times.
Yeah.
This is according to Politico.
Yeah.
So here are the five big takeaways compiled by Mediaite from this Politico story. I know that seems a really weird way to go about reporting on this, but suffice to say, this is a convenient list because...
This is like negging a girl to take you to a dance that she wasn't going to take you to anyway.
Exactly. That's
right, right.
You know, it's just like...
Yeah, well, number one, New York Times staffer claims publisher A.G. Sulzberger, quote, quietly encourages tough coverage on Biden's age because White House won't grant an interview. Yes, A.G. Sulzberger believes a long-form interview with Biden is the birthright of the Times, and he's been aggrieved that the president has refused to sit for one.
Oh, for
fuck's sake.
Okay,
let's just back up to the first name in that sentence, which was
A.G. Sulzberger.
Yeah, only people with names like A.G. Sulzberger can get believe in birthrights for shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we're
for fuck's sake, babies
in this fucking world are barely even guaranteed the birthright of their leftover placenta.
Yeah.
And, you know, and women are not guaranteed that they can take care of their babies because they don't fucking pay for. Oh, you don't get
the New York Times, which is like routinely slamming trans children, giving way too much ink to pro-Trump forces and still publishing David Brooks.
Yeah, right, right.
Feels like it has a birthright.
And David Brooks is better than anybody else on that fucking thing anymore.
Yeah.
Because he's anti-Trumper.
Mm-hmm. Yes, don't piss off Spicy Jody, goddammit. Jesus Christ.
Damn, we need a new bottle.
One unnamed
green nuclear.
It was green, wasn't it?
It's
good. Fucking pissed off at all these... That's better.
Oh my God.
There's Spicy Jody. One unnamed Times reporter suggested to Politico that, quote, tough reporting on Biden's advanced age and lagging poll numbers is, quote, quietly encouraged by Sulzberger in retaliation for Biden's unwillingness to sit for an interview. This is your fourth estate.
That's personal.
It's personal, and this is absurd. This is absurd.
I would like to interview him. I would love to have him on Stephanie Miller.
Let's just pause for a moment and remember that this is the New York Times that got us into the Iraq War with Scooter Libby.
Oh, that's your right.
What was her name? You know, and this is the New York Times. I mean, it's like, y'all, you have a very marbleized history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ain't got no birthright to anything except my left foot 8 inches up your ass. All right? Get your shit correct.
Up your inner circle. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
We joke on the Stephanie Miller show that you don't have a right to be on the radio. So if she doesn't pick up the call.
Of course. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
It's the same thing.
Yes, yes. Number two, White House staff feeds material to the New York Times PitchBot account, which famously spoofs the Gray Lady. So that's, I guess, that's payback. So when you read the New York Times PitchBot account on Twitter, some of that is fed by the White House to whoever runs that account.
Okay, now that is an internet...
Clever politics is what that is.
Barbara Streisanding their whole problem.
Yeah.
They can totally welcome the NYT Times PitchBot as a funny commentary on their organization and, you know, hype the fact that real White House people are reported to, you know, like, make it part of the deal. Like,
right.
It's funny because it is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could see the funniness of it about themselves, they would be a lot less like an ancient dinosaur of an organization. But of course, you know what I'm saying. Anyway,
please. Number three, New York Times and Biden camps are both convinced the other side leaked details of an off-the-record meeting in which the Biden team scolded the paper. So that's, it's so petty and childish. Number four.
Mm-hmm.
And off
that's
the
some petty Crocker shit right there.
Yeah. Number four, an off the record sit down with VP Harris at the New York Times headquarters went sideways. Sulzberger reportedly took minutes out of allotted time last May for an off-the-record meeting with Vice President Kamala Harris so he could ask why Biden was not agreeing to an interview. Harris was upset and later told aides the line of questioning was a waste of time for the meeting, which included dozens of staffers for the paper. Harris told Sulzberger to contact the White House press office for his interview. And finally, number...
So Sulzberger is basically treating the vice president, her honorable... Vice President Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. like the president's PR girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Taking yeah. time out of an interview to agreed upon interview format to complain to her mm-hmm. that her boss is making his own decisions yeah. and that she should go in there and tell him what to do. This is so like Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
You know, it's so petty and it's so like, when you look at the egregious mistakes that the New York Times has made mm-hmm. over the last 30, 40 years, because I remember they've got such an overinflated... Dear New York Times, I don't think so, honey. Okay? It's time to get your ears and your shoulders a little breathing room. Bring their shoulders down and get them out from out your ears and understand that you have made mistakes. Other people have made mistakes. You are just another journalistic organism in this country. And you have to play by the rules as everybody else. And some of your mistakes have been egregious.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Well, meantime, number
five. So you ain't got no birthright.
Right, right. Number five, a top Times star is furious with one of the Politico report's key details. New York Times reporter Jonathan Swan quickly took issue with a specific part of Politico's reporting involving Sulzberger. The report claims Sulzberger, according to multiple people familiar with his private comments, believe, quote, only an interview with the paper like the Times can verify the 81-year-old Biden is still fit to hold the presidency. Swan claimed in an X post that Sulzberger's words do not align with what he's directly heard. Swan wrote, for what it's worth, I have spoken to AG over the past year about this topic, and this caricature is unrecognizable. I never usually comment on media stories, but this irritated me because it's such a BS mischaracterization of his views about the importance of serious long-form political interviews. I have spoken to AG over the past year. Oh, this, I just, same thing. They quoted again, the same tweet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's that.
This
that's
is just
that
Australian-born, what's his name again, star?
Jonathan Swan.
Jonathan Swan.
Yeah.
You not wanting to get sent back to Australia. He's saying, yeah. My boss is a believer in really powerful, long-form interview storytelling for politicians, and it's a matter of extreme integrity that he gets that interview.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You're almost good with that. Yeah. You're super English, but it's very close.
In the ballpark, yeah.
It's very close.
It's trying to veer into the Aussie guy that I used to go out with, the one with the four-foot bong. Yay.
So I can't do that accent.
Like, oh, God, he was hilarious. He had a bong that took two people to light, right? And I'm at the other end lighting it, and he'd take this giant bong hit and be like, I don't know what it is, man. I can't get motivated.
I think that accent
is a whole different thing.
Got no energy.
I think that accent is fake, by the way. Just saying.
I was dating a pair of twins. Yeah, people ask how I could tell them apart. Debbie wore pink nail varnish, and Danny, he had a dick.
Okay. All right. That's enough of that. But nice try, though.
Right.
I appreciate the effort. That's okay. I have trouble with accents. I can't do an Irish accent or a Scottish accent, for that matter.
Oh, I can almost do an Irish, and I can almost do a Scottish, because I was raised with Scottish people in my house, and it's like, Gettle is girl.
Gettle. That's like, that's on the Glasgow side. That's a hard
It's Glasgow.
Nonsense.
It was a hard Scottish break.
Ask him to say murder. It's like, murder.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, hey, speaking of accents, speaking of voices, another round of...
Oh, we had to stop for a second. Oh.
Another round of Alex Jones Reads Comfort Food Recipes coming up on the Shadow Dog. By popular demand, I'm doing this because people requested it after last week's Shadow Dog, and so we're going to do it again. Plus, a word about YouTube Music and this podcast. I'm going to explain why YouTube Music may be untenable for us to post this podcast. So
We'll talk about that. Plus, let's see what else. Maybe the TikTok thing. Oh, yes. Tucker Carlson made an ass of himself on Joe Rogan's show.
Well, he's an ass.
Well, is that that's the not whole
news.
Idea?
Yeah, is that news? I don't think that's news. We're going to treat it like news. I mean, we've got the clip here of Tucker Carlson saying that evolution doesn't exist. And other fun things.
What the fuck?
Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Sign up for $5 a month. Yes, and you can keep listening to us talking, which continues right after this music is done playing. If you're only a listener to the free show, have a nice day. The show is over. Take care, folks. See you over there. Bye-bye.